Good evening. It is 6 o'clock. Welcome to this meeting of Rydale District Council's Planning Committee. May I welcome members of the public and fellow members. We're not expecting any fire alarms tonight, so if the alarm does go off, it is for real. The exits are on the way you came in and out of the doors behind me to the right and congregate in the car park at the top. Ladies and gents, toilets are out in the corridor and water is also available in the corridor. Could everyone please make sure their mobile phones are switched off or on silent? We do have a number of speakers tonight. Each speaker will have 3 minutes to speak and I will give an audible warning when there's 30 seconds left. And do all members have a copy of the agenda papers? Thank you. Move on to the agenda now. Agenda item one, apologies for absence, please.
No apologies have been received.
Thank you. So we now move on to the minutes of the meeting on the, whenever it was, 14th of March 2017. I'll move those minutes. Do I have a seconder? Thank you. I'll put that to the vote. Thank you. That's 9 in favour and 1 abstention. Agenda item 3, urgent business. I have no urgent business. So I'll move on to agenda item 4, declarations of interest, please. Councillor Hope.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Item 8, personal non-prejudicial. I have been lobbied.
Thank you. Any more? Councillor Maud.
Item number 11, have been lobbied by post.
Thank you. Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. Item 10, I know the applicant, but I've not been lobbied. Personal non-prejudicial.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, no. So we'll move on to agenda item 5, which is a Part A report, fixing our broken housing market, a government white paper. Jill.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, this report covers a proposed response to the government's white paper, effectively a consultation document on the housing market. As I say, it is a consultation document. We held a briefing on, I think it was the 8th of March, just to help members familiarise themselves with the content of the consultation. Although the white paper itself is, I would say, very holistic in terms of how it looks to recognise and address some of the problems of the housing market, the current consultation, the government are just limiting the consultation to proposed changes to the planning system, in effect the extent to which the planning system can respond and address issues in the housing market, primarily through revisions to national policy. It's anticipated that following this consultation, the government will revise the National Planning Policy Framework and release that in the summer. Chairman, the proposed response is embedded in the report and also at Appendix 2 to the report. Appendix 2 is the detailed list of questions that the government have set. Clearly, these responses can be amended or added to if members wish to do so. The consultation finishes on the 2nd of May, so we have time to amend the response. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I've got a number of issues with this proposal by the government. It's not really what the officers have done, but you know, looking at it as a whole, there are things in here about the green belt that I'm not happy about. There are things in here about building at low densities. Well, we don't have big high density building in Rydale. It's not one of the issues that we should have, and it doesn't fit with our building and the way our land is used as a rule. I don't like the suggestion that we take somebody else's houses from another authority because it can't meet its housing needs. You know, our infrastructure's not up to that kind of pressure to take, for example, York's housing. So there's a lot in here that I really, really don't like. But there are some good points as well. And I'm not entirely sure that it's going to go a huge way to sorting out the housing problems that we've got.
Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I guess that when we attended the briefing, that we got the gist of what the white paper was about. However, as has been said, this is not a one-fit-all. We are totally different to many, many areas, and our officers have, as they should, make responses, but the responses can't and won't change what is coming. There's no doubt that the housing market is broken, and my worry is the addressing of the skills shortage, 45,000, that I'm not sure how we're going to just suddenly get all those skilled people back to cope with this magnitude. Also, I'm concerned about the affordable. I've got that down, same as my colleague over there. You know that we're going to have to maybe have other houses from other areas. And you know, question 11 and the response of the Greenbelt. That's really, really worrying me because we want to protect our Greenbelt at all costs. We do know that we need to expand, etc. But you know, we need to be focusing on our brownfields, etc., and not go up into our Greenbelt. So I have an enormous amount of issues, but our officers have had to respond to those questions. I think you've done your best, Jill, and thank you very much for doing that. But I don't think that what we say is going to have much clout. But I know you've done your best, and I thank you for that.
Thank you, Councillor Mrs. Shields.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, I agree with what each of the two previous speakers have said. Annoys me is that there's a bit here. The government sort of is more or less passing the buck where it says, you know.
Can you just put your mic down to you?
Oh, sorry. Start again. I think the government generally, and in here, are sort of passing the buck, as it were. The idea of, you know, whoever is developing actually is going to provide the infrastructure. Yes, it sounds all very good, doesn't it? And the amount of infrastructure that's needed every single time we get a new development, like 300 or 400 houses, and, you know, double the population at least as a result of that, it's incredible. It says here, you know, providers to deliver the infrastructure that the new housing needs in good time so that development is not delayed. I mean, they don't think about not only roads, they don't think about things like surgeries, about facilities for people to get into a town and so on. All this mad rush for housing, and what were the jobs and what else is there that's going to be provided at the same time. So I'm a bit sceptical about the whole thing, actually. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I would endorse the concern about infrastructure development and the delays in putting in the roads necessary to deal with the traffic and to try to squeeze more cars down single-track roads than could reasonably be expected to be a satisfactory solution. I'm interested at the suggestion of the local authority disposing of land having granted planning permission by themselves, and I think there needs to be some sort of balance in there. I think we're also at risk of losing the human scale of housing and developments so that we end up with very dense housing with very little places for young people, children to play. And we end up with situations where we've got very congested roads which means that effectively children only ever play indoors rather than having space to go out because of the traffic and no open spaces. I was encouraged by the suggestion of forewarning communities of major planning developments so that communities could be more involved at an early stage rather than when the planning application goes in. And I think that would help also for councillors to be involved in that, particularly on the planning committee, so that there is more discussion at an early stage rather than here is the plan, do you like it or don't you? Question 35, I had some comment on and I've lost question 35 now. Sorry, I'll come back to that event. 121. Hang on, let me just... Yes. I'm surprised nobody's prompted me on this one already. Climate change. And the list of climate change factors to be considered during plan making. And we do have an awful lot of south-facing roofs in Rydell. And the proposal for south-facing roofs in new planning applications. And it's the easiest and cheapest way to make a difference to a household's energy bills, to build it in during the actual build process rather than putting it on as an afterthought. And I would encourage you to detail that in the response, in the suggestion, in the consultation. So you'd be all disappointed if I didn't mention that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairman, I think it sort of highlights the fact that this is it's a national document that's been circulated here. Under the title of essentially fixing the broken housing market, but as you'll have seen with the questions at the end, there appear to be four or five catch-alls that they're thrown in there just as well because they're thinking of changing the MPPF sometime soon. So there's even a little bit about wind farms right at the end there. But I think the issue here is that the concerns you've raised tonight are very peculiar to Rydell. If you were in one of the home counties which has got 96% greenbelt, you'd be really steaming in on greenbelt because you've got a housing figure and nowhere to put the houses, neither of your neighbours. So there are some real tensions in this. Same if you've got a retained housing stock. You know, your views on extensions of right to buy would be very different. So the government, in carrying out this consultation, will get a vast range of differing responses. To be honest, there have been some of the questions here where we've read the question and thought, well, we don't really know what you want. They start asking questions about serving completion notices. I think in 35 years of planning, I've only ever served two completion notices, which were relating to things that were unattractive developments in a conservation area, one house. They're talking about using that on a development of 300 or 400 or 500 houses. It's a different beast. So I don't think there are necessarily right or wrong answers here. We've got a consultation which distills to some sometimes quite strange questions, but that's the way the consultations come forward. Jill's spent quite a lot of time in terms of coming up with what Jill thinks is what we all think are the best responses, but they're not set in stone. We brought them here for you tonight because it will be Rydell's responses, it will be this planning committee's response. And if there are issues here, and I appreciate it's a really long document, a lot of questions involved, that if members want a little bit of time to, having had the debate, had the queries, then sort of say give us a week to you to feed anything else, any other comments back in, then we can feed that in because we've got time between now and the 2nd of May to do that. So often we bring consultations and the response dates tomorrow, and we haven't got that time. But it just strikes me that there's a lot to take in here, Chairman. And if members are, wanting to hear the debate tonight and then mull it over, then we can encapsulate those responses at some point. But we'd need to curtail it in about a week or so to do the logistics of it.
Councillor Mrs. Falk.
Thank you. at the start of this, it says the proposal
the proposals are based around the following four themes. And one, and the second bullet point is building homes faster. And as Lindsay said, there are not the skilled builders to build the homes they're building now. There are people up and down this country moving into new homes that are not suitable to live in. The drains aren't right, the roofs are leaking, bathrooms are all wonky, kitchen front doors don't fit. They're really not good enough, and I think that's something that needs to be addressed before they say they're going to build homes faster. They need to build homes properly, not faster. When they're built, they're there for 200 years and they want building properly to start with.
Obviously we've got the questions that are the response questions. And I think Jill's trying to sort of draw out the fact that we've got a white paper here on the housing market which is very much concentrating on the planning response to that. But that's quite a blunt tool, isn't it? And the housing market is more complicated than just planning regulation. It might depend on finance, it might depend on skills, all sorts of things. If members wish to say that, to say, well, this is, you know, you're focusing on one area and it's more than one area that will fix this problem of houses being built quicker. They're not questions in the consultation responses, but they're things that this council might wish to say. You've only got to go up the road to look at the Taylor Wimpey site, want gangs of builders, haven't you? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. This is about a debate, and I wonder exactly just how many new homes we actually do need. There are a significant number of people with second homes, and actually I think first of all we should be housing the people who need homes before people have second homes. And I appreciate some people might not always agree, but I did the census and I was horrified at the number of houses, particularly in Pickering, that were the smaller houses that young people would have started off buying that were second homes. They were empty. And I just thought that's a horrendous situation for us to have. And the other thing that I find really, really difficult is the house builders are building the houses and they're building bigger and bigger. And young people can't get the mortgages because they're being asked for 20, 30, 40% deposits for these houses. And the banks are just not releasing the mortgages to the young people for the houses. So while I appreciate entirely this is a very blunt tool to fix our housing market, I think there are far more things that actually impact on the housing market than just the MPPF.
Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll just pick up on my colleague there. I think second homes are probably for debate. I think people who invest in homes and then rent them out, they are probably providing a service. I think the deposits are far too high. You know, when we bought houses, it was based on a percentage of your wage. Now it's totally above that what anyone can afford. They've got to go to banks of mum and dad. You know, it's completely changed. Everything has changed. However, we have a document. We have to respond to it. So I would personally like to move that we have a week to respond. And if we want to respond, maybe we could respond by putting the question and the number in and where we would like our response to go, if that's acceptable. Thank you.
That's fine with me, yeah. So you've got till, what's the date, 18th? Yeah, so the 18th of April to respond, and then are we delegating that? Are you saying we delegate that to the head of planning, or Jill to put that forward? But could we have that sent back to the members?
Yes,
yeah. Okay. Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chair. Just to add to what Councillor Goodrick was saying about Pickering, I was surprised at the number of houses that were actually empty, almost derelict. Again, the small houses, sometimes on the main street. There is also an issue with the upstairs of shops and offices, both in Pickering and in Malton. And that would deliver very rapidly more living space for young people or for single people.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Mr Burr.
Yes, just coming back on Councillor Thornton about living over the shop. 10 years ago, I would have agreed with you there, Councillor Thornton, but there was an extensive survey done within Rydale, and it was actually one of our officers was tasked with that, with actually looking at living over the shops. And I know in Moulton and Norton there's a considerable difference being made of how people do actually now live over the shops, and we've only got about 2% that are actually unoccupied at the moment. So I think that has been done, but I guess it's maybe in Pickering they haven't succeeded as well as Moulton and Norton, but it was a major concern, and a lot was done by our housing officer, and that was tackled, and that those premises are now being lived in, which is really good news. Not everyone wants to live above the shop, but if a shop owner doesn't want to live above the shop, then they should let someone else live above it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, it's been the recommendation by Councillor Mrs Burr. I think, did you second it, Mrs Shields? Councillor Mrs Shields is second. So I'll put that to the vote, please. Okay, that's unanimous. Thank you. Now move on to agenda item 7, application number 16/01775/4. The application site is land east of Longwood Farm, Highfield Lane, Norton. The proposal is change of use of agricultural buildings and land to form camping site to include reception, office, farm shop, bike storage and siting of 14 number timber holiday cabins, together with the formation of 16 number car parking spaces.
Thank you, Chairman. I have no verbal updates on this application. For those members who could not attend the site visit, I'll now show you some photographs of the site. This is a view from the High Street up towards Highfield Lane, which leads to the application site. Further travelling up Highfield Lane, you can see the application site in the distance with those barns. This is going to be where the passing place is proposed. This is the entrance to the site, and there'll be another further on-site passing space to ensure that vehicles do not reverse onto the road. This is the location of the proposed car parking to serve the holiday units. This is a lovely Springer Spaniel. The barn in the background will be retained. These elements will be demolished. This is the field where the lodges will be. The trees will be retained and the hedgerows retained. This is just looking further south. You can see that quite established hedgerows. Again, looking back towards the barn, that will be utilised as a common room, drying room space. And this barn will be used as a on-site shop. Thank you, Chairman. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Councillor Mrs Burr.
You said about the shop. Is that going to be actually a new build, or is that going to be converted and rebuilt? What is that shop actually going to
be?
It's
going to all be in the existing barn. There's going to be no...
So the external would stay the same and the internal will change?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Any more questions? Councillor Mrs Goodrick.
Just picking up on Councillor Burr, is that the same for the common room and the facilities and everything? They're all going to be hidden within the barn?
Yes, that's correct.
That's correct. Thank you.
Any more questions? Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, the passing places on the road up, how many did they get down to? Just one?
There's one on the road.
Yeah, and the site entrance there, yeah. but they found that one. I think that's the one. It's quite a bad. That's right on the corner. Yeah. Whereabouts from there is the passing place going to be? Is it going to be Norton side of it?
It's just there, as far as I'm aware.
There, yeah.
Which?
That's okay then. Yeah. Thank you. So they can get a view of anybody coming down. Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
Councillor Mrs. Frank.
Thank you. When we went on our site visit, we saw a really fascinating little brick building with a sort of clock tower and a clock in it. And I think it's part of the heritage of this site, and yet there's no mention of it, and there's nothing about it, and I would hate to see that little building being lost. I would like to see you put something into this about it. Is there any hope that we can save that little building?
As far as I'm aware, the clock tower is being moved. Am I right? It's being moved, but it is being kept on site. But it's been moved further onto the site rather than where it is now.
Because there's an application, obviously the house isn't there now, for a replacement dwelling and some reconfiguration of garaging, etc. That's a separate permission that's been granted.
Councillor Hope.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I think it was mentioned on the site visit that they were going to move the complete building into like the private garden sort of style, but it was an old tack room, I think, wasn't it? Or something like that. But I think, as Councillor Frank says, if we can work something in, it would be a shame to lose it. Thank you.
Are you wanting to condition that? Can it be conditioned?
Yes, please.
I think he's going to do it, but
can I just ask that it's moved in its entirety rather than it being knocked down and people using new bricks or whatever, that it's actually kept and saved, because I think it is part of the heritage of that site and part of the heritage of Norton as well.
Yeah, we'll ask very politely if we can keep it. Any more questions? Councillor Maud.
Yeah, my concern is the a number of pods, whatever they are, on the site. They did indicate that they'll go down as far as that second tree. Well, and that was the restrictor. If you didn't go any further, there's only going to be about 14 on it. Apart from the narrow country lane, I can see that there is a problem in Norton itself with the, you know, there's two approaches in the village itself, but they're both rock sharp corners and vehicles parking on the road, and I wouldn't like to see that get any worse than what it is. We probably can't put a restriction on saying you won't be able to extend this in a few years' time, but it would certainly have to be trouble-free for me to agree with anything like that. It's just a concern I have. And is one passing place along that country road going to be sufficient? They mentioned large agricultural vehicles coming along. Well, we've got that problem down where I live. I'm a farmer, but you know, the agricultural machinery today travels at 40 miles an hour, and I mentioned it to one of our neighbours. Why do your men drive so fast? I said, well, the speed limit's 60. Well, okay, so it's just a concern I have, but I won't go against it. But it's
Thank you, Councillor Thornton.
Yeah, I too am thoughtful about quite a long, narrow road with only one passing place. People will be going onto the grass verges to pass if they meet vehicles at other places on that road. I remember the Canadian Fields discussion about large vehicles meeting more cars and needing more passing places. And I just think, you know, do we need to reconsider how many passing places we've got?
I'll come to that in a moment. Because I'm going to speak about that when I, because it's on my ward, so, okay. Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't get to the planning meeting. It is an area I know reasonably well, having been up, and you've got to come down because it's no through road. I do take the point about the narrowness of the road and how narrow it is compared to Canadian Fields. The difference with Canadian Fields is that was through traffic, and it was near the school. This is a no-through road, so you don't. You've got to go up and come back. There isn't people. There aren't. You're not going to meet people coming from the back of beyond to get back. That is the crucial difference, I think, in this case.
Any more questions? Okay, like I say, it is my patch, and I know full well what the problems are with the narrowness of the road down below where this site is, but. A lot of that traffic goes to the primary school, and first thing on the morning, half past 8 to 9 o'clock, there is a lot of traffic about. I went walking the dog last Tuesday, I think it was. Once I left the A170, right the way up past the site, I never met a car. So, yes, there's going to be times when there is traffic on the road, but other times, most of the time, it is a very, very quiet road. As for passing places, there's one going in there, but there are several driveways on that route where traffic does pass. So I haven't any problem moving officer recommendation. Also, Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, well, we all know that highways don't always get it right, do they? But hey-ho, you know, if the ward member says that he's happy with it, then I'm more than happy with it. So tourism, it's a massive industry, and why wouldn't someone want to come to beautiful Rydale? We as a committee, we have supported the tourism industry, and I think it's good for this area, and I want to show off Rydale because it's a great place to live. So, yeah, if you look at page 149, I mean, I would absolutely love to stay in one of those. So, you know, we might be hot-footing up to your patch and all go and stay in one. They look fantastic. So, yes, I'd like to second you and support this application.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote, please. Thank you, that's unanimous. It is approved. Move on to agenda item 8, application number 16/01947, Major Full. The application site is East Hill, Wilton Road, Thornton Liddell. Proposals for the erection of 9 number 4 bedroom dwellings, 13 number 3 bedroom dwellings, and 4 number 2 bedroom dwellings with associated garaging, parking, amenity areas, and formation of vehicular access to include demolition of existing dwellings and buildings.
Thank you, Chairman. Members will recall that this was also one of the sites that we visited a fortnight ago, and I think it was well worth visiting. But just before I go through the photographs to show those members who weren't able to make the site inspection, I'll just do a quick update. And the only update of any note really I've got is from the occupier of number 11 Hurrell Court, Hurrell Court, for those members who are on the site visit, is located to the south and the west of the application site, and is a site that has some quite a number of single-storey properties on it, which were immediately to the south of the care home that's recently been redeveloped and is now known as Thornton Heights. And that individual originally objected quite strongly to the application, and since advising them of our recommendation, they've now been able to read the officer report, and I think in part now understand our views in recommending approval to the application, but they still raise some concerns. and objections. And primarily, the main concerns appear to be those relating to potential noise. Members will be aware that although this is a site which does contain a large property on the road frontage, and I think there are five holiday lodges, Chairman, plus a variety of ancillary facilities for the holiday lodges, they note that currently there's very little noise from the site from holiday makers and residents, and they see that changing as a result of the development for the 26 dwellings. And I think it probably is not unfair to suggest that at the moment the site is quite quiet because it's not necessarily being used to its full capacity, Chairman. But we have not had any objections to the proposed residential development from our environmental health officers. We don't really think that that's a tenable reason for refusal. The objector then also go on to note the conifer trees, which are very much a feature of the site, which I'll come back to later, which they feel protect Hurrell Court from road noise on the A170. I think there's quite a lot of evidence, Chairman, to suggest that planting actually offers very little protection from noise from vehicular traffic. And indeed, when I show you some of the photographs of the trees, Chairman, you'll see they're actually quite spindly. They're quite dense at the top, but not in between. In all likelihood, the solid nature of the new development would actually act as a more effective barrier to noise than the conifers that I'll show you in a few moments. They then go on to express further noise concern regarding construction noise, and that is an issue sometimes we do get raised, Chairman, and we have taken to recommending with permissions that developers follow the considerate construction scheme. That's not a mandatory scheme, but it does give indications of when working hours are likely to be acceptable, for example, Chairman, such as things like no working on Sundays and Saturday afternoons and the like. The bottom line is, Chairman, if permission is granted and development does commence, then clearly if there are noise nuisance issues, then we would deal with it through our environmental health controls in any event. The final point that's raised, and it is a point that we have sought to control in the past, has been one relating to lighting and particular concerns about street lighting. I think they mean the sort of higher level lighting, Chairman, that might be associated with an estate road. I'm not necessarily suggesting that there is an intention to have street lighting or lighting on, say, car parking areas or the like, but I think it's not unreasonable, Chairman, if permission is granted tonight, that a condition relating to street lighting details and any other ancillary lighting of parking areas, which is very much a localised feature on the northern half of the site, then that could be controlled by a planning condition, Chairman. But that's the only additional comment we have received. In relation to the officer report, members will note that in relation to affordable housing, the paragraph in the report that relates to affordable housing does actually specify the commuted sum amount that would be required as £8,500, Chairman. It was still left as a subject to on the end of the recommendation, but that has been agreed. Okay. I'll just quickly move on then. I thought this was a very helpful view for members. This is the A170, so you're approaching from the Wilton direction, some way to the east of the site, and you just see the 40 mile an hour signs outside of the village, so there's like a deceleration line, and then further in the distance you've got the 30 mile an hour signs, and that's very much the edge of the built up area. And this is the site in this area here. So just even in this distance here, you can pick out some of the ancillary buildings, the greenhouses and things that we saw on site. And here is this bank of what are actually a Christmas tree crop. That's what they were planted for. And 45 years later, that's what they look like. In landscape terms, actually, that to my mind is the incongruous feature. Everything else is hedgerows and small groupings of hedgerow trees, and the same on the opposite side, but this is a dense bank of conifers which when we walked underneath it was just a carpet of needles. It was just devoid of anything in terms of any other type of wildlife. So moving nearer to the village, again you see the 40 mile an hour signs, some of the other ancillary buildings on the site. The one thing that the conifers do in part is actually screen what else is on the site from this particular direction. On the southern end, there are, I think, three lodges, and then there are two more within the grounds, and there are a variety of activity items like swings and slides and things relating to the lodge accommodation. And on the frontage, you can just pick out the start of the buildings on the site frontage. This is a view taken from the opposite side of the A170, looking down, so you've got the Wolds in the distance. In fact, quite a good view of the Wolds in the distance. And in this area here is a bank of indigenous planting that is proposed to be retained as part of the scheme. And the hedgerow, which goes all the way along this side here, is actually proposed to be augmented with additional planting to repair the holes in the hedgerow and get rid of some of the ivy. But in this point here, where there's less planting, that's where the landscaping of the site has been enhanced to show pretty much a tree planted per unit. So this is the 30 mile an hour sign I just referred to. And this is the main property called East Hill. And there's a forward projecting single story element, which I'll come back to in a moment. I did make a claim that you couldn't see the site from the conservation area, but if you jump up and down on the spot and look back up from the hill, you can just about see that bit. So it's about 150 yards away, but you can just about see it. These buildings would be demolished, and the frontage development then comprises a terrace of three units in this area here, a pair the other side, and the estate road then goes in at this point and goes pretty much north-south down the plot. This view is further along, so this again is here is also part of the site, and you can see immediately then you're adjacent to three chalet-style dwellings, which are set slightly at an angle to the road. In some respects, they're quite at odds, really, with all the rest of the development on the roadside frontage. Even some of the post-war and interwar dwellings further to the village are pretty much ridge parallel to the road. And form a continuous built form. And this is looking back the other way, so you get an idea of these chalets. They've all got a little box dormer on the side of them. But this building here would come out, and the frontage development would be sat pretty much on a line in this area here. And this is a view just looking back the other way. So when I show you the more distant view from where the conservation area stops in the village, you can just about make out that building on the road frontage, and that's the A170 heading back towards Wilton. This is a view within the site. So this is the point I was making about the trees. They're all sort of top heavy, but because they're conifers, they're, you know, that's it. It's almost like a series of telegraph poles that you're sort of walking through. And this is one of the internal roads that people manoeuvre around the site in. This is a view back towards the western boundary, and the reason I'm showing this is that you see the back gardens for the new houses on Thornton Heights, and it's the same developer that is the applicant. These are one of the lodges I referred to, and these are various ancillary bits and pieces, I think mainly for children to utilise if they're staying there. The reason I took these next two photographs was there were some comments from the back of Hurrell Court, and although it's not easy to see, this line of little stems here is actually in the application site, but there's a fence behind it, and that's the boundary to the site. There is planting the other side of it that is outside of the site, which is predominantly laurel. And that's the view back the other way. So you can see these stems and then the boundary, yeah? And beyond it is planting that's actually in Hurrell Court. So that's outside the site. And this is what you've got within the site. So outside it looks sort of reasonably green, undeveloped, but there are lots of facilities in here. So here we've got the tennis court. Beyond it there's a golf putting green, variety of other buildings. Here we've got greenhouses. Here some other ancillary buildings. So it is very much a previously developed area of land. And this is the view. I took this view just to really show the point that I made earlier, that although there's a hedgerow on here, there are some gaps in it. So this is proposed to be de-ivied, for want of a better word, and then replanted. This is a view again, looking back across. This is the southern boundary of the plot. again the other side of the tennis court, and again you've got this rectangle of overgrown Christmas trees, and that's the view south. So again you've got the hedgerow along this boundary here, and quite a nice view of the wolds along that part of the site. This is a view moving back up the site. This is the back of East Hill, and again you can see the backs of the chalets that I just showed you that were on the road frontage. They've got quite long rear gardens. This is a view from Hurrell Lane, which is to the south, very much to the southwest of the site. Again, you can see the lodges here in this area. This is Hurrell Court development, which is all single storey, and just beyond it you can see the profile of the roof of the new dwellings at Thornton Heights. So there are some distant views of the site from this direction. But again, the proposal is to fell the conifers and develop in that area. And this is a view looking back down Hurrell Lane, further to the north from the shot I just took, which was down there. And you can see Hurrell Court and then the new development in this area here. And this is the entrance into the new development, and you can see the conifers behind them. I took this because this is pretty much the line of where the national park starts. That, obviously, there was an objection from the national park. We have responded to that objection, but the conservation area boundary starts where you dip away into the old village. Very different character, and of no doubt in my mind that's why the boundary was drawn where it was. It follows the line of old Thornton Dale rather than new. There is some development in Rydale on this side of the site, but that's on higher ground and the ground continues to rise as you go north. I think the key difference here is that the application site, you can just see that frontage building that I referred to earlier, is pretty much hidden from the main area of the village, and in between it we have a combination of 60s and 70s development, Hurrell Court, and the brand new development that's Thornton Heights. So in terms of context, it's very different. While I was on site today, the current operator of the site showed me this aerial photograph. I thought that was very useful because what this does, it shows Hurrell Lane in this area here. So that this area here is pretty much the boundary of the national park. That's where I was just showing you that last photograph from. This is the A170. That's Hurrell Court. This is the old care home site that's now been redeveloped recently, and this is what I'd say a combination of mainly post-war roadside development and then obviously this property that was here. I think at one point it was a property that was owned by somebody who had a lot more greenhouses on it than this. He was a fuchsia enthusiast, but this is the last remaining greenhouse as far as I'm aware. And at some point in the past, a crop of Christmas trees was planted here. So that's the story behind the Christmas trees, Chairman. As you can see, it just feels what it is. We think this is, on balance, an acceptable development, notwithstanding the comments that we have received. And I would stress that the Parish Council was fully in support of the application. So we recommend approval, Chairman. The one thing I did was going to draw attention to, Chairman, was some information that we didn't have all on the site visit. On the wall behind Councillor Thornton are some axonometric impressions of what the site would look like. The top one is perhaps of particular relevance because it shows the additional tree planting heading to the south of the site after a period of time when that planting's taken effect. So I think the greening of the site is something that we see as a positive and very much getting rid of the somewhat incongruous conifers. And in amongst all that, Chairman, we get a development which we think is of a scale that's appropriate to the service village and providing us 9 units of affordable, Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any questions? No questions. Okay. Councillor Hope.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Takes some believing that the Christmas trees have got TPOs on them. Oh, did you find out who gave them?
I think it was requested by a councillor called Councillor Binks, who's long before my time, long known of the Northern Area Planning Committee, who had requested that a tree preservation order be imposed. Looking at it now, it's difficult to believe that they were, but that's the facts of the case, Chairman.
It's the first time I've known Christmas trees have a TP on them.
Can I just stop you, Councillor? Because we do have a speaker, and I've forgotten. I'll let the speaker. It's the speaker's the agent, Mr. Paul Butler, please.
He nearly didn't earn his corn, then.
No. Okay, if you just press the. Right, you've got 3 minutes, yes. And I'll give you a 30-second audible warning.
Thank you. Good evening, Chair and members. I'm here to speak today in support of the application. The site is brownfield land. Its existing use has been in decline for a number of years and is no longer viable. The site's appearance is an eyesore on the important approach into the village and also from any distant views from the national park. Should an alternative development not be supported, the site's negative visual impact will only worsen as the appearance of the site's existing buildings continue to decline. You have an application before you today that is seeking to deliver new homes on a brownfield site in one of the district's most sustainable service villages. The applicant is a local house builder who has sought to create a bespoke housing development which respects the character of the site and its surroundings. The applicant has recently delivered the Thornton Heights development, located next to the application site, which members viewed at the site visit. The applicant is so proud of the development that he lives there himself. The applicant has worked very closely with your officers. This led to a development that will assimilate with the existing settlement and wider countryside, protect and enhance the site's existing boundary landscaping through providing additional tree planting and fully restoring the site's existing hedgerows. The site's hedgerows are 7 feet in height. The restoration will substantially screen the development when viewed on the approach to the village from the east. The development will remove an existing tree belt of conifers within the site, which represent an anomaly in the landscape character of the area. The development will provide a substantial separation distances from existing neighbouring properties to the site and retain existing boundary landscape features. It will importantly deliver affordable housing of the number, size, type and tenure specifically designed to meet the recommendations of your housing officers. At a recent open day in the village, 21 people registered an interest in affordable homes, so the delivery of 9 affordable homes within the scheme will make an important contribution to meeting the village's housing needs. The development will deliver new employment opportunities and SIL payments close to £250,000. There are no objections to the development from your officers, North Yorkshire County Council, the Internal Drainage Board or Yorkshire Water. Importantly, the development has the support of the Parish Council. In conclusion, the development will enhance an important approach to the village through the removal of an existing eyesore and its replacement with a bespoke and high-quality housing development, befitting the character of the area, which will provide much-needed affordable homes. The applicant's current development is close to completion. They are therefore ready to commence the construction of this development and deliver the many benefits it can immediately.
30 seconds, please.
We respectfully request that the application is approved today. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any more questions? Councillor Mrs. Good.
Sorry, can somebody just clarify for me? Because we've got SIL and a Section 106. So I'm just confused as to why we've got both. Forgive me.
It's just simply that affordable housing isn't covered by SIL. It never was. It's just everything else is just now a development levy. And for those developments which are SIL liable, then that's just an amount per square metre relating to the development proposed. So that's all it is.
Councillor Hope, did you have another question?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. The serious side of what I was going to ask, we got rid of the Christmas trees. The hedge to the east, I think the speaker more or less said what I'm going to say. Can we retain the good trees in there? You know, they're going to be retained. Yeah, I think the speaker did mention that.
The layout was actually amended to get the... none of the trees were ever challenged by the building positions, but some of the dwellings were probably going to be a bit close for the livability. And so the development was amended to take account of those. they're all proposed to be kept. The hedgerow is proposed to be augmented with additional hedgerow planting, but also by additional tree planting within the hedgerow to actually give it more vertical.
Any more questions? No? Okay, we don't have a local member, so do anybody want to take this one? Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. I haven't got a lot to say. Development on brownfield land, which we adore. Good local builder, we adore. Nice that Thornton has the planning application, that we've got Thornton in front of us and not Norton and Moulton. So that's really good. Thornton needs some more houses. Nice that affordables are there. Parish support it. What more could we want? Recommend approval.
Thank you, Councillor Mrs. Shirley.
Yes, I think that interests me most is the fact it's a brownfield site. We've heard so many greenfield sites that we've fought to keep and yet been turned down by an inspector, in particular one in London, who just looked at it and said, oh, well, you know, it's fields, just use it as housing. But this is a really good one. It's the right kind of place on which to build, and it looks as though it's going to be a very nice development finally. I will second that, if necessary.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I'm going to concur with my colleagues across the floor. I think this is a really good site. It's brownfield and it'll tidy up. I just have two slightly minor gripes. One, it's outside the development limits and I don't like that. And two, there's no solar panels on the south-facing roofs, which I would really have liked to have seen.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chair. You've stolen my very words. I shall miss that iconic cream house as you crest the hill at Thornton Dale, but I think that what we're going to be delivered is far superior, and I'm delighted that the trees are going to be handled in the way that has been described, and affordable homes for Thornton Dale has got to be a good thing. There is need in Thornton Dale. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No. Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote, please. Thank you. That's 9 in favour and 1 abstention. It is approved. Thank you. Move on to agenda item 9, application number 16/01773/full. The application site is the Abattoir, Rectory Lane, Nunnington, and the proposal is for the erection of two-bedroom dwellings with a parking and amenity areas following demolition of existing abattoir buildings.
Thank you, Chairman. I have no verbal updates regarding this application. I'll now show you some photographs of the site. This is the entrance to the application site. You can see the abattoir buildings in the background. The property on the street frontage is known as Smith's Cottage. Again, you can see the existing abattoir buildings that are proposed to be completely demolished as part of this application. This is the view to the north of the site. South. This is the view to the north, the rear of the Smith's Cottage and the garage of the neighbouring property in the background. This is just looking back towards the access off Rectory Lane. This part of the outbuilding is proposed to be retained as it's not within the applicant's ownership. It's part of the Nunnington estate. Again, just a clear view of the abattoir buildings. This site is clearly, you know, previously developed site, previously developed land and buildings in a predominantly residential area of Nunnington.
thought this was helpful. Just to look down the village, you'll see predominantly stone, pantile, pitched roof dwellings, which this proposal will take on this design ethos of being more like linear barn conversion type new builds. This is looking back up Rectory Lane. The applications brought to members this evening is a letter of objections being received from the occupier of Honeysuckle Cottage, which is the property. This is stood within their garden. This is their garage, and you can see the existing abattoir buildings on the boundary. So as I just pan further in, the applicant uses this higher part of his garden to grow vegetables, and I think his main concern is the buildings will be higher at this point, roughly where I've got the red laser there, and there will be some loss of light at certain times of the year in this particular area of his garden. That's his opinion of that. But more towards the immediate garden space, because of the way the development's been designed, the building, the main dwellings will be positioned further westwards of the site, and the bulk of these buildings will be removed, and this is where there'll be a single-storey outbuilding and the parking spaces. Again, this is just the boundary to the neighbour. I think in terms of building materials, there'll certainly be an improvement on the existing boundary building materials. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you for your report. What will the materials be on that boundary? Will it be the end of a house, or will it be a wall that's built, or what will it be?
So at one point, so further towards the west, it will be there's a retaining stone wall, and the dwelling is set further back at some point, but then a lot of it will be the boundary of the dwelling, but there'll be no windows on that elevation. There's a roof light, and it'll be natural stone.
Any more questions? Okay. We don't have the local member again. It used to be my patch did this, so all I can say is I used to get a lot of complaints about the traffic going in and out of this abattoir, and I'm rather surprised that there has been a complaint from the chap there, because surely anything's got to be better than living next to that. So I have no problem in moving approval. Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Before I second that, I took a lot of notice of this because Nunnington is particularly beautiful, and we had to make sure that if we were going to do something, it was absolutely right. And when you talk to the residents, they actually say that it actually doesn't look nice at all in their village. So I think what our officers have done, have actually done something that will be even more sympathetic to Nunnington. So I think that it's really good, and I think it will it'll benefit. It's a shame that we've had the gentleman say what he did, but I think on balance, I think that it's going to be a great improvement, so I would like to second that.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
I think that the present buildings are not in keeping with the character of Nunnington, and I think it's an important conservation area that needs to be put back to what it should be, really. I'm not quite sure who gave permission for those buildings in a conservation area in the first place, but there you go. So I'm more than happy to support it.
Anybody else wishing to speak? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote, please. Thank you. That's unanimous. It is approved. So now move on to agenda item 10. Application number 17/00117/full. The application site is High Mill, Undercliff, Pickering. The proposal is for the change of use and alterations to former mill to form two number two-bedroom residential units, together with formation of vehicular access and crossing over Mill Leet stroke Race.
Thank you, Chair. I have no verbal updates on this application. It's brought to members this evening as the applicant is Councillor Mr Potter, and an objection has also been received from a neighbouring occupier. I'll now show you some photographs of the site. This is the view north up Undercliff. Here you can see the mill race that runs under the building, parcel of land here, and then the North Yorkshire Mows railway in the distance. Some of the wall is proposed to be demolished approximately here, I think it is, to form the vehicular access and the parking. I think what's also important to note is the proposal will also involve a car parking space for High Mill House, which is the adjoining property to the mill that is also in the ownership of the applicants. I think, yeah, just a further picture of the wall that is proposed to be demolished in terms of being quite minimal, but to still gain the visibility displays that the Highway Authority require. This is the mill. There'll be a new opening here to access the two units. I think, despite it not being a listed building, it certainly contributes to the character of the Pickering conservation area, and the details of the windows have been quite carefully designed to replicate the existing openings in the mill building. Again, this is just looking further up Undercliff. This property here is also within the applicant's ownership and is known as Mill Lodge. The proposal will incorporate two units. As you can see, it's quite a large building that can accommodate two units. Here you can see the access to the rear of the existing property, High Mill House, and Mill Lodge here. So as I say, there'll be one car parking space as part of the proposed development for the existing dwelling. This is just from the bridge over the railway crossing, just looking along Undercliff. The window openings will be mostly replicated. There will be an obscure glazed window here just to protect any overlooking. I know the other buildings are in the applicant's ownership at this moment in time, but that might not be the case in the future. Again, just looking back towards Pickering. There'll be one tree lost to incorporate the driveway car parking and the small crossing over the mill race, but I think the wider benefits of the scheme in terms of losing a tree are considered to be acceptable in this instance. I think it's a good use of an existing building in the conservation area, so I think that's everything. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Any questions? No questions? Okay, I'll come to the local member. That'll be Councillor Thornton. Well, as near as local as we've got.
Thank you. I'd just like to confirm with you, Chair, that it's in order that I speak to this proposal, given that Councillor Potter is a colleague and I know him well.
Well, you've declared it non-pecuniary interest, so, yeah, you're fine to speak.
Thank you. This building is an iconic sort of building which has been, you know, a feature of this part of Pickering, and it's crying out for a bit of loving kindness and restoration. Previously being used as a wood workshop, and before that merchant's store. There are problems of flooding, but if anybody knows about flooding, Councillor Potter would know that. It brings an ancient and good-looking building back into use. For all those reasons, I would support this application.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Shields.
Thank you, Chairman. A bit concerned about the lack of parking. I mean, Undercliff is very narrow. I had friends living up just above at 29A, I think they're moved now, but they've been there, so been up there quite a number of times. And if there's only one parking place, it's going to be very difficult to get out onto the road there, because I say it is narrow, and that has, of course, flooded, as has been mentioned. I just wonder whether it's going to be feasible to have that parking place in that particular area near the mill.
The three car parking spaces proposed as part of this development, the Highway Authority state that one is acceptable per two-bed unit in this location in Pickering, so there's one each for the unit and an additional for the High Mill House, which is considered acceptable from the local Highway Authority, and there's also provision with having the crossing over the mill race to form on-site turning to reduce vehicles having to reverse out onto the main Undercliff Road.
Councillor Mrs. Burr.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. First of all, I apologise. I didn't realise it was Councillor Potter, so he's on this council. I need to declare an interest. And basically, thank goodness this building is actually going to be refurbished. I'm just sad that it's been left so long. It's about time that someone needs to do something with it. We need our redundant buildings brought back into life. So for that reason, for that reason alone, I would like to second that, if it hasn't already been seconded.
Thank you. Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, you did beat me to it. I had to second it in a drop of a hat. I think it's a fantastic building. It's a good use to it. Two small dwelling units. It's a plus project as far as I can see. I'm all for it.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. Sorry, my apologies. I hadn't realised it was Councillor Potter. Mr and Mrs Potter they never even entered my head, so I will declare that we do know Councillor Potter, and it's personal, non-prejudicial and non-pecuniary and all that. I'm really pleased to see a really beautiful heritage building come back into use as dwellings. I just hope that anything that's in there, which is an old asset that can be saved, is saved, whether it be the doors or the windows that are currently there and anything else that's inside it. I really hope that that's preserved as part of the character of the building. So for me, it's a really good proposal.
As is that it's not listed, actually. But it is in the conservation area, and there was a pre-app submission, and I'm sure, I think I'm right, Emma Woodland was on the site visit. So to the extent that that happened, then I'm pretty happy with the advice that was given and the changes to the scheme that have been made.
Councillor Mrs. Frank.
Can I just ask about the flooding? It's all right saying that Councillor Potter will know about it and it's his application, but is there a danger of this building flooding? And if so, has any mitigation been taken to prevent it flooding once it's made into a house?
Part two of the report talks about the flood risk, and the finished floor level of the building is 0.8689 metres above the previous recorded flooding in 2007, and 0.6 metres is normally widely accepted by the Environment Agency, so the raising of the floor levels is a lot higher than what would normally be accepted. And we've got to remember here, I think, that it's an existing building. We're not talking about a new build. And, as I say, the Environment Agency's accepted the detailed, submitted flood risk assessment that was carried out by the applicant.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote, please. Thank you. That's unanimous. It is approved. Now we move on to application. We've got to move on to agenda item 11, application number 17/00191 House. The application site is 55 Middle Cave Road, Moulton. The proposal is for the erection of a single storey rear extension.
Thank you, Chair. Just a few updates. I'd like to clarify that the boundary hedge measures 1.9 metres and a further email has been received from the occupier of 53 Middle Cave Road that was circulated to members yesterday. I'll now just show you some photographs of the site. So here I'm stood within the application site to the rear. So 55 Middle Cave Road here. And this is the adjoining is 57 Middle Cave Road. As you can see, semi-detached property, brick built, existing projecting bay window that will be lost as part of this proposal. Panning round here to number 53 Middle Cave Road, which you can see here, they've got a conservatory extension and as a boundary hedge. Again, just looking back towards 57 Middle Cave Road, and this is the boundary hedge that I said measured 1.9 metres. Just a closer up photograph of the boundary. This is the view from the front of the property where, in terms of public vantage points of the extension, there may be a slight glimpsed view, but it is to the rear of the property. These are some photographs taken from 57 Middle Cave Road. Again, you can see the boundary hedge, the bay window that is used by the occupier of 57 Middle Cave Road. Again, just looking back towards the properties, they have quite substantial rear gardens. This is a photograph that I took inside the property of 57 Middle Cave Road. This is a place that the occupier enjoys to sit in the morning, and you'll see from the letter of objection their concerns are regarding the loss of sunlight. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We do have two speakers on this. Firstly, an objector, Mrs. Jean Brown, please. Okay, you've got 3 minutes and I'll give you a 30-second audible warning. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. I'm here to raise concerns and voice a strong objection to the planning application for number 55 Middle Cave Road. This extensive extension will be approximately 17 inches from the boundary and will overshadow and block sunlight from my south-facing lounge, bay, French window and patio area. This rendered wall, 9 feet 10 inches high and over 14 feet deep with an inappropriate window and an ugly flat roof is not in keeping with a pair of well-built, well-designed, well-balanced 1930s semi-detached houses, and will result in a rather cheap-looking rear area which could devalue my property. I would like a site meeting with officers, councillors, to enable them to judge the impact this building will have on my lovely home of 38 years. It also provides a home for my son with Asperger's syndrome. I have endured many months of noise and disturbance from my neighbours due to internal structural alterations with no discussion or concern shown. And the prospect of months of building noise and the invasion of my privacy as an elderly widow I find daunting. The situation is causing me a great deal of stress and unhappiness. On these grounds, I ask that this planning application is refused. Thank you.
Thank you. We now have the either the applicant or the agent. It's the applicant, Mrs. Elizabeth Rhodes, please. Okay, once again, you've got 3 minutes, and I'll give you a 30-second audible warning. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman and committee members. I was born in Westow and was very fortunate enough to have the opportunity to move back to Moulton 4 years ago. And we have very much enjoyed a good friendship with our connecting neighbour, Jean Brown, at number 57. And we are very challenged by upsetting our neighbours and causing any undue stress and unhappiness. It's correct, we have had some internal work done, but it hasn't been messy. It hasn't been particularly loud. It was only when they were taking the walls out that there was a bit of noise, but that was for a very short period of time. The development that we've proposed, we've taken a great deal of time and effort speaking to a large number of people to understand what would deliver the most acceptable, least obtrusive extension to our property. We are living in a 1930s house. It's not necessarily the prettiest, as you can see. We have a mix of window combinations, UPVC, but also new wooden windows that we've had commissioned that have added to the right there just a little bit more style in keeping with the local area, and it's our intent that we continue doing that within the extension. We chose a flat roof because we didn't want a pitched roof, and the flat roof would actually be more expensive for us, but we did that so that we could absolutely minimise any loss of light to our adjoining neighbour. We're more than happy to put a living sedum roof on there, so it's great for wildlife, it's pretty to look at, and all of those good things. And in doing that, we have foregone having a pitched roof or even having a conservatory, which would be far more obtrusive. It would cut out far more privacy for our neighbours, but it would actually give us a lot more light. So we have tried to be very sensitive and sensible about what we're asking to do. The entire depth up to the external outside wall will be 430 centimetres, which isn't a huge amount. It's just over 10 metres is the permissible that we're allowed. It's just a little bit beyond that. The side windows, because the flat roof will be 3 metres high total, will be obscure, and they'll be on a hinge facing inwards so that they open from the top.
30 seconds, please.
They're obscure. They won't lose anybody's privacy. We don't want to fall out with our neighbours. We love living in Moulton, and we just need a home that's fit for our family. On some of the objections, it said that we might be looking to annex it out and rent it out, and that's simply not the case. And so I'd like to thank you very much for your time, and thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? Councillor Mrs. Frank.
There's a jig or something that you can use to see how the sun comes round and affects people's shadowing of people's conservatories and things and that sort of thing. Has that been done at all to try and find out how much shadow it will cast onto the neighbour's conservatory?
I'm not sure what you mean by a jig, but I mean clearly the aspect is pretty much north south on the submitted drawing.
There's a formula, Gary. It's something to do with 45 degrees that way and that something else that way. I'm not quite.
The dilemma is that there is already a substantial boundary hedgerow that's already doing a large chunk of that. Our dilemma is not so much that there will be an impact, because there will be an impact. It's really assessing the materiality of that impact. And so when Charlotte says that hedge is about 1.9, what I can tell you is that the extension's about a metre 1.1 metres above the height of that hedge. And I think that's why, in part, that the extension that was proposed, rather than proposing it to be brick, because that's a 1930s building built out of imperial-sized bricks, they've actually chosen to go a different route, which is actually, you know, very often an architect's approach is to go for a contrasting style, a contrasting material, and actually they're proposing a through-coloured render, which is white. So in terms of daylighting, that's more light reflective than a brick extension would be, for example. My judgment is, having been there today, and I went there both sides of the hedge, I simply said fence then, both sides of the hedge today, is that there will be an impact. And I think that impact will manifest itself in varying degrees up till about sort of 11 o'clock in the morning as the sun tracks. So there will be an impact on that. That will vary, depends on the times of the year. So without doing shadow drawings, which we haven't done shadow drawings on this, I've lost a lot of hairs doing shadow drawings over the years, but that will vary according to the time of the year. So if you did a jig or a whatever in March, it will be different to what it is in June because of the height of the sun. So we make a judgment call. I think the dilemma we have here is, over the years, the government has deregulated planning. It's deregulated planning particularly with regard to rear extensions. And we now have a situation where, if I'd been sat here 20 years ago, I'd have thought, well, the standards that the government itself was imposing were such that, you know, you could look at the objections and think, you know, that's possibly refusable. As time has gone on, we've now got to a stage where the government has, even in the permitted development order, actually introduced temporary grants of planning permission, which, dependent on the outlook of a neighbour, you could have a 6 metre long extension here and potentially not even need planning permission for it. That wouldn't be the case here because the neighbour would object, but you see the dilemma is that we're dependent on neighbour objections as a fallback position. The fallback position, the actual full-time fallback position, is a 3 metre long extension at the rear, right hard on the boundary, up to however many metres in height it would be. And that also would have an impact. So it's that additional bit that really, as a planning authority, you have to think about. It's that 1 metre plus, I think it's 1.3 metres. Because we could refuse this tonight, and tomorrow a 3 metre long extension could appear, right hard on the boundary. And it's that fallback position which means that professional officers are having to make those judgment calls. I'm not sitting here tonight saying there won't be an impact, but some of what the applicant said in terms of the flat roofed extension is probably true. If it was a lean-to design, it would have more of an impact at the house, but it would be lower at the eaves. And so there's a balance that you strike in all the time. Our judgment call is on this one, is that there'll be an impact, but it would be difficult to say that that's sufficient to warrant a refusal, hence the approval recommendation. My judgment is if that went to appeal, if we refused it, we would lose it.
Councillor Hope.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I don't know if I missed it, but I heard 10 metres mentioned. Is that... that's across the back, is it? Right. Right, yeah. Coming out that way. I think it's difficult with looking at it on photographs. Might get kicked for this, but any value in the site visit or not?
We're still in questions at the moment, Councillor Hope, so we'll ignore that one. We're just on questions at the moment. I've got Councillor Missy Shields with a question. No, we don't have Mr. Shields with a question. Anybody else got any questions?
Sorry. Gary, you said a flat roof as opposed to an apex roof. Would if it was an apex roof, would that have less impact? Because I am concerned about the impact that it's going to have on this neighbour with it being a conservatory at the other side of that hedge. Sorry?
I'm saying, is that the person that's complaining? Is it left as we're looking
at?
Two
objections.
Oh, right, sorry, I do beg your pardon. To the left of the one, is that what you mean, Councillor Fair?
If there were, instead of a flat roof, if it was a pitched roof, sorry, pitch, that's the word I wanted, a pitched roof, the wall would then be quite a lot lower and the pitch would be in the middle, which would cause less shadowing over the neighbour's property.
If you look at page 256, Chairman, and you look at the top of the elevation, the central elevation, the only way you could practically put a pitch roof on that would be from the rear wall of the dwelling down to a gutter as a lean-to. It's too wide to do any other form of roof because it's just too wide. You wouldn't get a tile that would function on it. And the answer to that is that nearer to the dwelling it would be higher, so it would have more of an impact. Whereas as it diminishes to the line of a gutter, which might be, say, 2.4 metres, for that far end of it, it would have less of an impact because it's half a metre or so less than the flat roof would be. So there's a balance. You know, you've got a diminishing impact. The applicant is saying they've considered a pitch lean-to and discounted that because they think it would have more of an impact than what's proposed now.
Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. Can I ask just roughly where the top of the flat roof would be? Is it almost the top of that bay window that we've got now? Because that's what we're looking at, isn't it? It's about one metre higher.
Any more questions? No. Okay. We'll go to the local member. That's Councillor Mrs. Berkeley.
Right. So, thank you very much, Chairman. Nice that so many members are taking an interest in this application. Thank you. First of all, nobody likes to hear neighbours at odds with each other. And to me, it's obviously noticeable that both neighbours are upset about this. And it's a shame that there couldn't have been more dialogue because then we wouldn't have been in this position. But if you take a look at page 256, it does show you how tall and what an impact this will have. To say I'm disappointed is an understatement because normally, I'm the person that wants to support extensions, applications, people improving their homes. That's what it's all about, you know, but we've all got to live together. And we've got to have sympathetic buildings and sympathetic designs. And what we need is, and it actually does say in this report, that we require good design. Now, it is true to say that slightly smaller would have been permitted development, so we wouldn't have been involved, but we are involved And I do think that on this particular occasion that it is going to have an impact, and I'm pleased that our officer has said that it's on balance. And, you know, with a lot of these things, we're often told that if it goes to appeal, we'll lose. But, you know, you've got to think about where people live and the impact of what it's going to be. And Councillor Frank is quite right to suggest about the sun and how it's going to come round and the height of the building, etc., etc. So, as I say, Gary said it was on balance, and I think on this particular occasion our officers have got this wrong. And I do think that we would succeed if we went to appeal, and I would like to propose refusal tonight, but I will give you the benefit of the doubt of going and just having a look at this, because I think that it is going to need us to really, really appreciate how much of an impact this is going to be. And I think in 4 weeks' time then we can decide on this. I think it's a sensible way. I think the applicant is probably in turmoil because she wants to stay there, she wants to live there. She said how much she likes living in Malton, and the objector wants to live there as well. So we just need to be very, very careful on this committee what we decide to do. So I don't like going against our officers. I want people to have extensions, but I would like to propose a site visit and have a good look at it.
Thank you, Councillor. Mr Shields.
Sorry, I think it is quite difficult. So I would rather have a look at it actually on site. In spite of the good photos and everything else you've got there, there's nothing like actually seeing it, you know, on the ground, as it were. So I'm going to second what Mrs. Burr just suggested.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? No? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for site visit, so I'll put that to the vote, please. Thank you. That's 8 in favour of site visit, 1 against and 1 abstention. So we will have a site visit, and it will be on the 25th of April at, shall we go at 10:30, 10 o'clock, whichever? 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. You'll have to get up half an hour earlier, Eric. Okay, thank you very much. Councillor Mrs Goodrick.
Mr Chairman, my apologies. I already have a commitment on the 25th of that morning, so I won't be able to attend.
Okay, thank you.
Right, you better drive out the wind, Chairman.
Okay. Agenda item 12, any other business? The Chairman decides is urgent. I have no other business. List of applications under delegated powers is there for your bedtime reading. And the update on appeal decisions... Gary will be.
beat them. It's an interesting. We're only a month in, so I don't want to be too. They've got 6 weeks to challenge, but actually, it's a very important decision in the sense that it relates to the control of noise on developments near to sensitive noise, you know, noise sources such as, in this case, the A64 and wards. And the noise condition sought to control noise limits in back gardens of properties. It also sought to control noise limits in first floor bedrooms facing the site, but with the proviso that windows should be capable of being partially open. And those were the two points that Gladman's challenged. And I think Alan Hunter and the Environmental Health Officer, Steve Richmond, who's since left us, I think that was Steve's parting gesture to the council, was we spent a lot of time refuting a lot of very technical evidence and won it hands down. So it's a classic case of where the development was an outline application, pretty pictures, felt pen drawings, no details.
and then they get permission and go and try and flog the site, and then they'll promise us the earth, and then developers come along, and they can't give us the affordable, they can't do this, can't do the other. But they actually challenged this at the outset, and what this now means, if it stands, if it's not challenged, is that any subsequent developer to that site has now got to come up with a scheme which meets those standards. And if that means the permission, which is for up to 73 dwellings, can only develop up to 60, say, because of the noise barrier, that's why I'm a little bit iffy whether Gladmans might think, what are the implications wider for them? But on the face of it, it's a very good appeal decision, and I'd like to put on record the thanks for Steve Richmond for all the work and effort that he did to make it stick. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. I now declare this meeting closed and wish you a safe journey home. Thank you.